In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, I don't have to tell you that May is the month for graduations. And some of you either have or soon will graduate from high school or college or maybe even grad school. And if it's been a long time since you graduated, you can still recall those days. You know, while we're young and we're in school, we're granted a certain level of immunity from the responsibilities of life. The student enjoys a kind of protected status in our society. As students, we don't have to have all the answers yet because we're still learning, and everyone understands that. But after graduation, the questions begin. Questions arise in the new graduate like, now what? I've been a student for so long, but what is the plan from here? How do I transition from being a student into the real world? And given the chance, what career path should I take? Sometimes uncertainties at that point in life begin to creep in soon after we graduate. And this self-doubt brings even more questions. Questions like, I know where I want to go in my life, but how do I get there? Or, am I really capable of doing and performing those things that I have only dreamed about for so long? Or, should I take career risks, or should I stay in my comfort zone and play it safe? And then once you greet that set of questions, there is a whole other set of questions that is waiting in the wings. The larger questions about love and marriage and family. Questions like these. Will I ever meet the right person? And if so, where? Will I have children? And if so, am I ready for marriage and children? Yes, some of these questions begin at our graduation. But those of us who are well past those years can also acknowledge and tell you that as we age, that every decade of life brings with it its own new set of questions. In the decades that often create what we call midlife crisis, people find themselves tempted to ask questions like these. They get tired of their mundane life and they say, isn't there more to life than this? Or maybe they're tempted to ask, did I marry the right person? Did I make the right choices? And finally, have I wasted my life? Few of us have all the answers, but one thing is for sure, that we all have questions. Some of our questions are trivial and absurd. Others are selfish and materialistic. And yet, my friends in Christ, there are some questions that are truly beneficial. And they are a blessing to our spiritual life if we ask them. For young or old, at some point in your life, you will need to ask yourself the really deep questions about life itself. When you find yourself asking questions like these, where did I come from? And why am I here? Who am I? And does this life really hold any meaning? What's beyond this life? And where will I go when I die? My friends, today is the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. And today we are celebrating the revelation of the triune God who is the true God. And we rejoice this day in our triune God, for he alone provides us with the answers that we so desperately seek. It stands to reason that really the only one that can answer our questions and can resolve the important issues concerning life and death would be the one who is the maker of all things in heaven and on earth. And our true and triune God not only made the world, he also redeemed it with his blood, and he sanctifies it. And so for this reason, I like to refer to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the God of origin, the God of purpose, the God of destiny. For finally, every important question, every ultimate question about life and death finds its answer in him. Through the revelation of the Holy Trinity in the Bible, we discover joyous answers to questions that once deeply troubled us and perplexed us as to our human origins, as to our life's purpose, and as to the outcome of our destiny. And we discover this, that it is God the Father who created us, and we owe our origins to him. It is God the Son who has redeemed us, and we find our true purpose for living in him. And it is God the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us, and we are given the assurance through him that we have an eternity of happiness to look forward to. And so for these reasons, the Bible says that in God we live and we move and we have our being. Do you notice the Trinitarian flow of that phrase? That in God we live and move and have our being? It's not by random chance, but it is God's intentional design that the Bible always speaks in this Trinitarian way. Let me give you an example. It is no coincidence that in Isaiah's vision of the throne room of heaven, that the myriad of angels that surround God sing this phrase that we sang this morning as a triplet. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. For by such threefold praise, what the angels are doing is adoring the mystery that our God, the true God, is the triune God. Three persons, yet only one God. Nor is it by accident that the writers of the New Testament would bestow blessings upon believers using triads for the same Trinitarian reason. As the apostle says to believers and readers of the New Testament, grace, mercy, peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Or as they later describe God and his gifts as faith, hope, and love, which are in Christ Jesus. These spiritual blessings are bestowed on us in threes because God himself is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet, remarkably, only one God. And so these threefold blessings reflect the threefold nature of our God and His loving work. Consider the phrase, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, as our apostle uses it. It is through God's pure grace, His undeserved love for sinners, that God our Father decided to save us. It is through the shedding of the blood of the Son of God that we have obtained mercy and eternal redemption. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we believe all of this and that we are granted peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Now I would like you to consider this threefold phrase, faith, hope, and love. The only God who can deliver on His promise to bring faith and hope and love to your life is none other than the triune God that we celebrate today, the great God of the Old and New Testament. For it is only in this revelation of God as the Holy Trinity that we really understand who God is. God, my friends, is love. That's why the Father sent His Son to die for us, because the Bible says He loved us, even when we did not love Him while we were still sinners. Our God gives faith, and we have faith in the Son, whose atoning death on the cross saves us. And we have a God who brings hope. For the Spirit brings us both certainty and comfort that the things that we say this day are true and that our God can be trusted. In fact, we Christians speak about these things with such conviction, with such complete certainty, that sometimes we're accused of believing that we know everything. Well, we freely admit to our world that we don't know everything, that there are lots of questions that even we don't know and won't know until we see God face to face in the next life. And yet what our triune God has provided us, the answers that are most important to the most important questions of life, we do know. We know the questions regarding where we came from, who we are in Christ, and where we are going. Those who believe in the triune God do not have to wonder about these things. We don't have to wonder about where we came from or why we were born into this world. For the Bible has the power to convince you that you are not the random happening of chance discussed in evolution, but your existence is the thoughtful intention of a loving Creator. As Christians, you know that we find the origin of life and our purpose for living in the loving will of the triune God. For the Bible reveals, as we said in the Creed, that God is the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We owe our human origins, the very reason for our earthly existence, to God our Father, who not only created us, but to this day still provides for all of our needs. We also find our reason for being in the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. You see, God the Son became a man for the purpose of suffering and death. It was through his death that he destroyed death and brings life and immortality to you. Sinful humanity attempts in vain to find purpose inside of self, by pleasing the self, by pursuing selfish pleasure. But for those who have tried it, this kind of self-indulgence is not what brings peace. As Christians, we know that we find life's true meaning by dying to ourselves and by looking outside ourselves to the living Son of God who came to love us and give himself for us. And we know that what brings meaning to our lives is the richness of God's grace in Christ. Our purpose is found in serving this God who loved us, who still loves us, and who gave himself for us, who did not come to this world to be served, but to serve, and to give his life over as a ransom in exchange for our lives. And our eternal destiny, that is, where we will end up in life and in death, is decided by God the Holy Spirit, who works faith where and when it pleases him in those who hear the gospel. Without the Spirit of God, we are afraid to look into these things that lie beyond death, to focus on what is beyond the grave. But it is the Spirit himself who convinces us that because our destiny is not decided by works that we do, but by God's grace centered on the works of Christ, that we can have confidence in the future. The Spirit is the one who makes it comfortable for the first time to think beyond this life, to think of God and the judgment. Because the Spirit teaches us to believe that you and I have already received the not guilty verdict through Christ. It is the Spirit's task to convince your hearts that there is absolutely nothing now that stands between you and God that would keep you from enjoying an eternity with him. If only humanity knew the triune God as a whole, it would not spend most of its life eluding these hard questions. That's what we do. We often hide from these questions by preoccupying ourselves with the little and lesser things of life, by crowding our calendars so that we simply don't think about these weighty matters. People are sinners, and as sinners, even we are afraid to answer questions like these. Where did I come from? Who am I? And where am I going? And so we procrastinate in addressing these questions honestly as to our origin, our purpose, and our destiny. We tell ourselves with some kind of false security that we can ignore all these questions now, since there will always be time to answer these questions later. But my friends in Christ, these questions will not wait. For our life is finite. Our time on this earth is limited. And these questions will only be left unanswered if we never come to realize who God is. These questions regarding who we are and where we came from and where we are going cannot be left unanswered if we want to go to heaven. And that's why these questions have created fear in so many. And that's why they have created frustration in others, because they seem so philosophically complicated. But what we are celebrating on this Holy Trinity Sunday is the truth that God has given us these answers in the revelation of Himself as the Triune God. For the answer to the question regarding human origins is as simple as this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the answer to the question regarding our life's purpose is as meaningful as this statement: and I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And finally, the answer to the question of our eternal destiny is as certain as this statement: I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, give your hearts joy and certainty to know who you are, where you came from, and where you are going through Christ. Amen.